For our consideration before the Lord's Supper tonight, I'm going to ask a question. It's actually a question from one of the catechisms we have used before. How are you righteous before God? How are you righteous before God? Upon what basis can you say, I'm okay with God and God is okay with me? I'm rightly related to Him because I am rightly related to His law. How are you righteous before the God? Before God? Well, the old catechism answers it this way. It's quite a long answer. It's a wonderful answer. Only by faith in Christ Jesus. Although my conscience accuse me that I have grievously trespassed against all the commandments of God, and have not kept one of them, and further, am as yet prone to all evil, yet, nevertheless, if I embrace these benefits of Christ with a true confidence and persuasion of mine, the full and perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, without any merit of mine, of the mere mercy of God, is imputed and given to me, and that, so, as if neither I had committed any sin, neither any corruption did stick to me, yes, as if I myself had perfectly accomplished that obedience which Christ accomplished for me. Does anybody care to repeat what I just said? That's a long answer, isn't it? It's like they just keep going and going and going, driving home the point that if you are righteous before God, according to the Scripture, it is based on what God has done for you in Christ and not based on what we do for God in Christ. So this answer contains many glorious and very encouraging, and I think soul-strengthening truths. Sinners are righteous before God only by faith in Christ Jesus. Justification, sola fide, by faith alone. It is through faith and faith alone that we are righteous before God. Faith is the instrument through which sinners receive the benefits of Christ. Somebody has said, faith is the hand that receives the Christ as offered in the gospel. But you, if you think about yourself as a believer now, when you were an unbeliever, when you expressed faith, you extended your, metaphorically speaking, your hand to receive Christ, was your hand clean? Was it righteous? Or was it stained and dirty? Remember the hymn about daughter's not here, so I can do this. Foul eye to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. When we laid out our hand of faith to receive Christ as offered, it was a foul hand. Our souls were foul, uncleansed, unclean, and we went to Christ in order to be cleansed and clean. So, faith is the soiled hand that receives Christ as offered in the gospel. And it is only by faith in Christ Jesus that we are to be found righteous before God. So, notwithstanding an accusing conscience, gospel-believing sinners are righteous before God for Jesus' sake. We are not righteous before God for our righteousness' sake. Our acceptance with God is not based on our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Have I ever said this before? I think I say this, I know I do, every week. Somehow, some way. Though the best of believers may and do find that they have not and do not and will not in this life keep God's commandments as required, that is, personally, perpetually, entirely, and perfectly, and that there is a war waging in their souls, Even though true believers realize all this stuff, it is nonetheless true that all the benefits of Christ are imputed and given to all believers. Weak believers, strong believers, old believers, young believers, new believers, and seasoned saints alike. We all get the benefits. Paul is no more justified and will be no more glorified than the weakest of saints, feeble saint, because our righteousness with God is not based on us. It's based on what Christ has done for us. So all believers in Christ get all the benefits of Christ. You say, well, that's not fair for the martyrs. They worked harder for Jesus than we did, and they got killed. You think a martyr is going to say, you know what, Lord? I deserve more of the benefits of Christ than they do because I put my neck on the line. They did. Saints in glory don't think like that, okay? That's the way we think. We shouldn't think that way, but that's the way we often think. All believers in Christ get all the benefits of Christ. The facts of transgressing God's law and the fact of inner warfare as believers, though true of all believers, these things do not alter our status with God. I'm fighting my sins, therefore I'm not righteous before God. Well, if our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, I'm righteous before God. Even when I'm fighting my sins and lusts and losing. Some of you know who Martin Lloyd-Jones is. He was a preacher in the 20th century in England. One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, maybe the greatest, I don't know. But he would always say things like this. I remember the first time I read it in Lloyd-Jones, I thought, I'm not going to say that. He said this: if you're preaching the gospel and you're not being accused of being an antinomian, I'll tell you what that means, then you're not preaching it the way Paul preached it. The way Paul preached the gospel is he made it sound like it was so free that you could just sin all you want and still be a Christian. Now, Paul's point about the freedom of salvation was that we don't earn or deserve it. Okay, but Paul never argued, once you come to Christ, you're covered. Whoop it up. Sin all you want, because once saved, always saved. The ground of our justification is solely and exclusively a righteousness earned for us outside of us. You've heard the Luther thing, the alien righteousness. That's it. That means outside of us, gained for us by another. Not our parents, not your pastor, but your Savior. And then the soiled hand of faith goes out and believes the gospel and gets the Savior and all the benefits. And that's our standing with God. That's why even when a believer sins, he can go to the throne of grace. He doesn't have to say, or he or she that falls into sin, a pattern of sins. Doesn't have to say, you know what? I can't go to God. I can't go to the throne of grace. I'm too dirty and yucky. I have to clean up my life a little. I need to read the Bible 25 days in a row. Let's make it 30 so you get through the entire book of the Proverbs, you know, so then you're really righteous because you read all the book of the Proverbs 30 days in a row. And I went to church 4 times this month. I went to both services, you know, and I helped old ladies cross the street. So now I'm clean. Now I can go to God and tell him, oh, back then a month ago, I was in a pattern of sin for 3 weeks. Please forgive me. Now that I'm clean, I cleaned myself up in order to go to God to get cleaned up. It doesn't know. God accepts his children. This is going to sound weird. Even when they're guilty sinners. Back there in that 3 weeks of a pattern of sin, that in my illustration, that if that person's in Christ, they're accepted based on the righteousness of Christ. They're sinning and they need to stop it. I get it. But it doesn't undo their standing with God. So that you could be arrested, not by an officer, but by the Holy Spirit in the midst of sinning and immediately repent and be cleansed. Because you're already accepted in the Beloved. That's why Lloyd-Jones said what he said. Because he was fighting this thing called, he knows what it's called, Sandemanianism, or whatever it was. And it was a form of well-intended Christians preaching that the gospel has, you know, implications for life, which it does. Like, you should do what Jesus says. But there was a confusion in some people, confusing what we do for Jesus, somehow, some way, contributing to our standing with God. And when you get those things mixed up, the law and the gospel, repentance and faith and justification and sanctification, you produce legalists. And you produce people that need to be scared into obedience. That's why I was kidding, kind of, when I told Pastor Anderson, whatever you preach on, don't scold my people. Should pastors scold their sheep? No. In the way I mean. Like every week, make you squirm out of here. Oh, man. He's right. I'm terrible. Because you know what? You are terrible. If you think about it, all the mercy, all the grace, all the kindness God has given us in Christ, and I'm a pitiful Christian, nonetheless, still, it's like, why aren't, we should ask ourselves, how come I'm not more holy? Honey, tell me. Can't be my fault, right? I think about this sometimes. Pastor Butler and I talk, is this being recorded? I might ask you to shut this off. We go, dude, been doing this for like 25, 30 years. Why aren't we like seraphic? Angelic by now. It just doesn't happen that way. But our holiness is important. You want to have assurance? Do what God says. But your holiness doesn't earn your standing. It might exemplify the fact that you have a right standing with God because you believe in Christ. How do I know that? Well, God's working grace in me, and I want to do more than I do for him, but I do things simply because God said to do it. So here we are, sinners, righteous, based on the righteousness of Christ, and we still transgress. We got warfare in our souls, all that stuff's true, but it doesn't alter our status with God. You see the antinomian kind of a perspective people could take from that. You mean I could sin it up and still not mess up my status with God? Well, yeah, but what Christian in their right mind's going, wow, you mean I get to go commit adultery? This is great. And still go to heaven? I can commit idolatry? I can just be a Sabbath breaker and a liar and a thief. I can go murder people and still go to heaven. This is, yeah, it's like, no true Christian thinks that way. So this is why we sing, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. This is not an unbeliever singing, this is a believer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. That's just honesty right there. I think that's one reason why people really like that hymn. Because that sounds like me. In thee we have a righteousness by God himself approved. Our rock, our sure foundation, this which never can be moved. Our ransom by thy death was paid for all thy people. Given the law thou perfectly obeyed that they might enter heaven. He's not talking about me or you. That hymn's talking not about the saints, but about the Savior. And I think that's, at least for my sin-sick soul, very encouraging. Though believers remain sinful and are prone to wander, their standing with God is not based on their works for God, but on God's works for them in Christ. Martin Luther said it, we must beat the truth into our people's heads. So I'm trying to beat this into your numb skulls, okay? Mine as well. I have to start with me, by the way. So it's through faith alone that all believers receive the benefits of Christ, the full and perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, without any merit of our own, and all of the mere mercy of God. You say, well, I'm a Christian because I'm... God was merciful to you. That's why you're a Christian. You don't like, I deserve to be a Christian. You know, I went to church when I was a kid and I never rebelled. And so I'm good. That's what I am. I don't think, I hope nobody thinks that way. Don't think that way about yourself. We're not good. Relatively good, okay? When we compare ourselves to really bad people. I'm talking about our souls. We're messed up. If we have a righteous standing with God, it's based on God's work in us, or God's work for us in Christ. There's another question that same catechism asks, very, well, a lot briefer than the first one. Why do you affirm that you are made righteous by faith only? Here's the answer. Not because I please God through the worthiness of mere faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and I cannot take hold of it or apply to it to myself any other way than by faith. So here's the question again. Why do you affirm that you are made righteous by faith only? Not because faith is itself meritorious. If you have faith, you have merited God's pardon. No, faith is a passive instrument that receives something, not that merits or earns something. Faith in Christ is not a work rewarded by God with the benefits of Christ. Faith in Christ does not earn us the reward of Christ. Faith is not merit. Faith receives what the gospel offers. It does not merit what the gospel offers. You need some water? Oh, you have some water. And what is offered in the gospel? You know that faith isn't offered in the gospel? Repentance isn't offered in the gospel? Christ is offered in the gospel. And you might be saying, look, Pastor, I'm worse than you think. I don't have faith and repentance. I know I need them. I wish I could have them. I'd say, you know what? I'm not going to send you home and say, oh, wait until you feel like repenting. I'm going to say, you need Jesus more than you realize it. Faith and repentance are actually gifts. Christ is offered in the gospel. You say, well, my repentance is terrible repentance. Tell him about it. Ask him to forgive you for your lousy repentance, your lousy faith, as long as it's in Christ. Faith is the way we take hold of or apply, older Puritan type language, apply the righteousness of Christ to us. It is not the meritorious cause or means by which we earn anything from God. This is why Paul can say, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Why is that? Why would Paul put that in there? That we have no grounds to boast. You say, well, I repented. read Acts, whatever it was, where it says repentance was a gift. I believed, read Philippians 1, where it says faith is a gift. Ephesians 2, faith. Matter of fact, the whole salvation is by grace through faith. Everything that's connected to the salvation that you have in Christ, gift, lavished, benefit, earned, not merited by you, merited by another. We got no grounds to boast except to boast in the Lord. So the very fact that believers are in Christ is God's doing, and being in Christ brings with it the benefits of Christ. It's all God. Being in Christ is God's doing. Faith in Christ is God's doing. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, both are of God's doing. And the doing and dying and rising of Jesus for us, that's God's doing. God sent his Son to do all that for us. So I hope that you realize that you are righteous before God. If you are, it's only by faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder. Help us to realize faith can't be meritorious because our faith is often so soiled and tainted and weak and feeble. But we do believe. Help our unbelief. Repentance can't be meritorious either because we could never offer perfect turning from our sins directly to you. We are so weak and feeble even in our repentance. Forgive us. But our Savior, the friend of sinners, he perfectly obeyed in every step of life that he took. Not merely to prove to us that he was a unique person, both very God and very man, but to earn righteousness for us in all of his doing, in all of his dying, in all of his rising. As we take the supper, further embed these truths into our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.